salon owners turn around their businesses in the Bravo Series Tabitha Salon Takeover. With her signature edgy style, youthful energy, and exceptional skills as an artist and educator, Tabitha is without question the industry's golden girl. Tabitha's resume reads like a biography of a born hairstylist from the beginning of her career when she was 14 in her native Surfer's Paradise, Australia, to her recent appearance as the fan favorite on Bravo's hit series, Sheer Genius. Tabitha has been completely devoted to the art of hair. Over the last 25 years, Tabitha has worked with the who's who in the industry of Australia, Great Britain, and the United States, and has continuously developed, fine-tuned, and broadened her skills as an artist, educator, and business owner since 1997. Tabitha has represented Joico globally as a key member of the Joico artistic team. Tabitha works regularly as an editorial stylist for fashion and beauty publications and backstage during New York's Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week. Her work has been featured in several publications, including 17, Marie Claire, Mademoiselle. Tabitha also finds the time to lead her staff of hairstylists and colorists at her own salon, Industry Hair Gurus in Ridgewood, New Jersey, where she is in high demand and has built a large clientele. Tabitha also recently became bi-coastal and will start seeing clients in Los Angeles at the Warren Trichome Salon in West Hollywood. Tabitha, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so delighted that you're here. I love talking about hair. I'm completely obsessed with hair. You know, we got to speak yesterday, which was lovely, and my husband jokes that, you know, if you take a pie chart of my brain, there's like 5% is everything else, and 95% is all hair. Like, I'm always
talking. I love that.
So this is like a dream come true for me. Now, I mentioned in the introduction that you began your career at 14. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I knew that I wanted to be a hairdresser, and my mother made the recommendation that I worked in a salon for free for a year, and really just to gain experience and see if it's something that I wanted to pursue, and that's what I did. I worked for a year for free while I went to school, every day after school, weekends, school holidays, all of that kind of thing, and then at 15 started my apprenticeship.
Wow, that's awesome. It's so nice that you knew what you wanted to do. That's a really great, that must have been a really great feeling. Now, I have a lot of great hair care questions from listeners, and before we go to that, I'd love to hear a little bit about your decision to go on the terrific Bravo show, Sheer Genius.
It was something totally different, something that I had not done before, and it sounded like a little bit of a laugh. And went to the casting, the girls were with me, and I got picked, and was one of the competitors in the first season.
Oh, that's great. What was Jacqueline Smith like? Did you get a chance?
She was lovely, but we really didn't have that much time with her. I was lucky enough because I have been on Sheer Genius season two, and I will be on third season as well as a guest judge. I got to meet Jacqueline Smith a little bit more in season two in a different arena because I wasn't a competitor, and she was actually allowed to interact with me at that point. When you're, you know, in the competition, the judges and the host really aren't allowed to interact with the competitors.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
she's amazingly beautiful.
I'll tell you that.
She's amazingly beautiful. We didn't get a lot of time to talk, but she was always very, very nice to everyone when she turned up.
Oh, that's good. And then from there, so you finished that experience, and then you got a call from Bravo?
I did. Sheer Genius finished, and I got a call from Bravo, and they asked me to go and meet them at their offices in New York. Had no idea what was going on, and they asked me if I'd be interested in doing my own show for them.
Oh, my gosh. That must have been so exciting. How did you feel? I mean, were you... What was going through your mind?
I was totally gobsmacked. I mean, I didn't expect it at all. It wasn't what I expected I was meeting them about. I really had no idea why I was meeting them. I was really thrilled and excited. It took me no more than a second to say, yes, I would love to.
Oh, that's great.
Here we are.
That's wonderful. And did they have the whole concept for the show, or did they ask your input about, what do you think of this, how do you like this idea?
We talked about it, which is great.
Okay.
You know, the thing that I love about Bravo is they really do produce some great shows and have some really interesting things on their network, and they were really open to what I felt comfortable with.
Oh, that's
great. You know, what I could hone into as, you know, my expertise within the hairdressing industry and something that was comfortable for me to be able to host a show. So it was a lot of collaboration with ideas.
Oh, that's good. And it must be such a great feeling. I mean, you're changing lives. I mean, you meet with people who are on the brink of financial ruin, and you go in there, and you not only educate them on the finances, but about giving their stylist more education who need it, talking with the, you know, folks in the front mm-hmm. who need better, you know, interpersonal skills. It's really inspiring.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really proud of it. You know, obviously, it is a reality show, and there are lots of high drama moments to it because my buttons get pushed and I do have a short fuse and I do lose my temper.
Mm-hmm.
But we really do change people and hopefully change them for the better. These salon owners are really in financial struggles. Mm-hmm. They're about to lose their businesses a lot of the time, and it's incredibly emotional for me because I really want to help them and I have such a short amount of time to do it.
Yeah, well, it makes, I'm sure it's such a huge difference to them. Now, we got so many questions. Everyone loves you and has lots of questions about their hair, so I'd like to start with that. Now, Bert from North Carolina asks, Tabitha, what is the best brand of hair coloring to use that will keep your body healthy for those of us who are vain and want to be blonde again?
you know, a lot of the hair color now is so much more gentle across the board than what it used to be. I'm a big advocate of when you're colouring your hair that you should do it professionally, not do it from a drugstore.
Okay.
Because, especially with something like going blonde, you really don't know what you're doing and that's okay. You're a client. You shouldn't know what you're doing. There's a whole scientific process to colouring hair. But all the manufacturers out there that are professional hair care manufacturers have come up with ways of putting emollients and buffers in the product so it's a lot less aggressive on the scalp and a lot less aggressive on the hair. And there are many product lines out there that now have reconstructors actually built into the color line so that you're doing some good to the hair as you're going through the lifting process.
Oh, that's good. So there still needs to be bleach. Is that true if you're going to go, like if you have dark hair and you want to go a lot lighter or like really blonde, like platinum blonde?
If you want, yeah, sure. I mean, if you're quite dark naturally
mm-hmm.
and you want to go very blonde, then the only way to achieve a good end result is to use a lightener. There are highlight blondes out there that will give you, you know, several levels of lift, but sometimes they won't give you the lift that you're looking for if you want to go into a platinum or a baby blonde.
Oh, okay. Now, Jennifer from Sacramento, California asks, I've been going to the same stylist for 5 years. Her cuts are okay, but not great. I need to look for a new stylist. Can you make any suggestions about how to find one and avoiding really bad haircuts until I land someone that I like?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I think that for a lot of people, the best way to look for a hairdresser is to network with their friends. Everyone has a friend within your circle or someone you work with. Maybe it's a mom at school that always has spectacular hair. And you get to know who does that person's hair so that you can then make a consultation and go to that salon and meet the stylist.
Well, I just want to say that I love my stylist. Her name is Naveed, and she has a salon, Salon Naveed, in Andover, Massachusetts, and she is fantastic. If anyone's in the Massachusetts area, definitely check out Naveed. She's wonderful. So there's a recommendation. Maybe Jennifer should come. Now, this was really cute. Susan from Syracuse, New York, she saw my post that I said, you know, if anyone has questions for Tabitha, and she said, yes, yes, yes. Hair changes during the change. Are there any products out there for the change of life hair? And what happens? Does hair change during menopause for women?
Oh, it sure does. Yeah. Here's the thing with women, because we're such hormonal creatures.
Yes.
Our hair changes at hormonal points, and we really don't have control over those hormones. The big obvious ones are obviously when you go through puberty. That can be a huge hair change for women.
Oh, gosh. I had this beautiful silky hair, and literally overnight, mm-hmm. it was like I got the frizziest hair in the planet. I
yep.
was heartbroken.
So, I mean, puberty's a big one. We nearly all have that kind of change story. Pregnancy is a huge one,
yeah.
And each pregnancy is different.
Mm-hmm.
And then going through menopause. So what actually happens is as we get older, because the fluid levels and the lipids in our body start to decrease. So the skin starts to dry out a little bit more. That's what, you know, can cause the wrinkles as well. The hair actually loses its lipid barrier as well and its moisture level, and it starts to contract or shrink a little bit more. So it makes it feel finer.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, with grey, the grey can be wiry, resistant, coarser, so that also contributes to the dry feel. And a lot of women that go through menopause, they do feel that they start to decrease in the amount of hair that they have.
Oh, okay. And is there anything that can, do you have a product or anything that can help, or there's a certain, maybe a different type of hairstyle that could help?
Yeah, there's a few things. I mean, hairstyle is hard because, unless I see the person, it's hard for me to recommend a hairstyle.
Of course.
But definitely what you want to do is put moisture-loving products in your hair. So there's a great line out there by Joico that is called Moisture Recovery, or K-Pack, that is a reconstructor that has moisture in there. So it's not going to weigh the hair down and make it heavy, but it's definitely going to put the moisture barrier, you know, put moisture back in the hair and create a nice barrier in there to keep the moisture in the hair. And what happens then is the hair looks a little fatter and is a little bit more responsive, and it will be protected. You also need to be careful, ladies, and I am no doctor at all, but I just know from, you know, clients' experiences, make sure you discuss it with your doctor, because a lot of the medications that women opt to go for when they go through menopause can really play havoc with their hair and skin as well. And sometimes you don't know until you're on that medication. So it's always a really good idea when you're doing, you know, a medication regime, check in with your doctor and ask them how it's going to affect my hair and skin.
Oh, that's such great advice. Now, you sort of just answered the next question. Is from Michelle from Newark, Delaware. She says, Tabitha, I have dry hair and conditioner isn't enough. Can you suggest something? You just talked about the K-Pack, which I love. I've used that a lot with Joico. And it's interesting because she says, I don't use perms, colors, hairspray, gels, or mousse, but I do blow dry my hair occasionally. So I'm thinking, I mean, some people just have naturally drier, you know, hair, right?
Sure, and conditioner will be enough, but it's a layering issue. So some people just have naturally coarse, dry hair. Typically, hair that has some natural texture in it is always a little bit more dry or naturally dry, especially, you know, from what she's saying, she's not doing any outside chemical kind of things to it. So Moisture Recovery would be a great line for that kind of hair. And there's a system to it. So it's a shampoo and a conditioner that work hand in hand to put the moisture into the hair. And then there's a treatment, which is called Treatment Balm, that you could use every day if you have the hair that warrants using it every day. It is richer. It's heavier, it has shea butter, emollients in there, so it's really going to moisturize the hair from the inside out, which is great. And a lot of hair products are progressive. And what that means is if you use them once and you give up on them, you're not going to see the benefit. It's a little bit like taking, again, medication. It takes a while to get it in the system and actually build up the moisture level if your hair is that dry. So when you shampoo and condition your hair, you may be able to run your fingers through and it may feel great, you know, from that minute. Often that means that there's a lot of waxes in the product and putting a barrier on the outside of the hair, it's not doing anything to the inside. Typically when we use hair products, what we're doing is we're treating the outside, which is no different to putting foundation on your skin or putting body lotion on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have an internal condition, then you need to treat the inside.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, there are many brands. There's a brand called Nioxin that deals with fine and steady hair. And a lot of the ingredients that are in these products will actually help to stimulate the follicle in the hope that hair will grow or continue to grow and maybe thicken up.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. Now, let's see. Anna from Los Angeles asks, I have long hair, and it's normal state. It is wavy and unruly and messy looking. I use a Qi or CHI flat iron about once a week. What products do you recommend I use before and after? And her hair is also thinning. So you just addressed that, which is great. I will be 45. Any suggestions?
I think one of the most important things when you're using a flat iron, although once a week really isn't a lot, which is great because you don't want to over-process the hair with those kind of, you know, those kind of things. Some people do it too often. Is to use a protective spray. There are some great protective sprays that go hand in hand with a flat iron that will actually protect it from the heat of the iron, again, put moisture into the hair and help to keep it smooth so that you don't get those little frizzy flyaways.
Oh, yeah. Frizz is tough.
The great thing is LA's dry.
What's that?
The great thing is LA is a little drier.
That's
a drier. you know, climate, so it's a little easier if there's frizz. But when you're talking about humid clients, climate, it's a real problem.
It is. You know, I finally got so frustrated with my frizz that I actually did the Japanese hair straightening. I love it. Oh, my gosh, I absolutely love it. My hair feels like silk. I'm wondering, is there a downside to that? Because my hair, I don't color my hair, so it's just my natural color. So that's the only chemical thing I do. What's your opinion on that?
Did you do Japanese or keratin or Brazilian?
I didn't do Brazilian. I thought it was the thermal reconditioning. Is that?
Yeah, that's not Japanese.
Oh, it's not.
There's a big difference. The Japanese relaxer that came out a few years ago makes the hair very, 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 very straight.
Yes.
The downside of that is that although it sounds very appealing to all the ladies out there with really curly, coarse, frizzy hair, when you get this straight, straight hair, sometimes you don't know what to do with it. And it feels a little too flat and straight for you. Super straight, and when it grows in, the roots actually have the texture, the natural texture.
Yeah.
But, you know, the mid-shaft and it's really, really straight. So now the keratin and Brazilian treatment kind of relax the curl out.
Okay.
So there's still some movement to the hair, but it makes it much easier to blow dry. It takes out the frizz, and it just makes it much, much easier to maintain the hair.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so maybe for next time I should try the keratin.
They're great. There's some great ones out there. There's some great products. There's been a lot of controversy about the formaldehyde in them and the damage to them, which are all very warranted and were a really big concern in the beginning. Actually, I wouldn't touch them. I wouldn't have them in my salon because I think anything that came with safety warnings about wearing breathing apparatus. First of all, it's not good. It's not safe for my staff or myself. Yes. And it's definitely not safe for a client.
Mm-hmm.
But the chemicals have changed now. There's some great products on the market. And you just need to ask the questions from your hairdresser, but they get amazing results.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what's funny? Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but if you look at pictures of me from my childhood, you would think they switch kids every 3 years. And seriously, I had super golden blonde hair, like the blondest hair, and then literally it turned like strawberry blonde, and then it turned red, and then it turned auburn, and then the texture's gone from silky smooth to frizzy to curly, curly. Like I had, in college, I had ringlets, like the curliest, tightest ringlets. And then in my late 20s, my hair started turning straight, and then it was sort of wavy, and that's when I found, like, if I had my ringlets again, I wouldn't have had it straightened. Have you ever seen someone who's, I don't even know, I mean, I didn't get pregnant or anything in my 20s. I don't know what was going on, but I literally went from having ringlets to my hair not being straight, but just turn into waves. Have you seen that before?
Yeah, I have. Again, it's hormonal. You know, I'm not saying through all of those cycles you were hormonal.
Yeah.
But, if you kind of look at the years and look at the pattern, there is, you know, they do say that our hormones change every 7 years.
Okay. What do you think of the hair products out there for regrowing hair? Are there any that you like? Or do you think they work?
If you get them early enough, that's the thing. When you talk about maybe Rogaine, minoxidil, that kind of thing, and you go to your physician and you get especially the tablets, the minoxidil tablets, you need to take them consistently, because if you stop, then you've stopped the stimulation, you know, in the hair growth cycle. So it's something that you have to look at as long-term, not a short-term fix to solve the problem. You can't take them and think, oh, the hair's growing back and I can stop now. The hair will stop growing.
Oh, I see.
And they can work, but you have to get them early. So once you're bald, yes. Sadly, there is nothing that you can do except go with it, because the hair has already lost the stimulation and the growth.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, speaking of men, I got a great email. John from Philadelphia, PA, asked, is she single? Does she ever crave 170 pounds of high-quality milk chocolate that never melts? Oh, God, that cracked me up.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so that's not good to me, but I'm here. Anyway, I thought that was really cute. So, but he didn't have any hair questions, but he does. You know, everyone thinks you're great. You know, I actually got a really lovely email from Bernadine in Houston, Texas, and she asked, Tabitha, I watched your show. How is it that you became such a strong woman? How do you maintain that strength, especially around men? What fuels your sense of sisterhood? Also, you seem so authentic without the dual personality that a lot of media people have when they're on mic or in front of a camera.
Well, thank you. That's a great compliment.
Yeah,
I am. I'll go backwards.
Sure.
What you see is me.
Yes.
On the show. I mean, the comment that I get from a lot of people is, am I really that mean? I don't think I'm mean.
I don't think you're mean at all.
I think I'm very honest. And the situation that I'm in on the show and with these salon owners, I need to be honest with them because I need to try and help them and save their businesses, and I can't do it if I'm not honest with them. And I need to be strong because obviously the businesses are lacking leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, someone strong needs to come in and shake it up to really turn it around and make these people see sense of the drama that's been going on in the bad situation. So it is me. The person that you're talking to now, there's nothing for me to get mad about. You know, we all have different sides to our personality, and what you see on TV is definitely who I am. It's not amped up for camera, but it's only one facet of my personality. And I am strong. I think that just comes from who you are and how you were brought up. I was brought up by a very, very strong woman who was brought up by a very, very strong woman. And the cycle goes. My mother brought me up for a very long time. My father left, and my mother had, you know, was a single mother and had to bring me up by herself, and that makes for a strong woman, and she had to make a lot of decisions and do a lot of things, you know, that maybe she wouldn't have had to do if she had someone else to rely on, but she didn't. So that strength, I guess, was just passed on to me.
Oh, that's great. See,
strong women are strong women. Strong men are strong men. I believe that there is no difference to either.
Yeah, and she also asked what fuels your sense of sisterhood. I love that question.
That's a great one. I think it's great to be a strong woman.
Yes.
I really do. And it doesn't matter what kind of aspect you pick to have your strength in, to be honest. I think women are such multitaskers. We have so many things that we have to do. There are women out there that, you know, have to work and have to take care of their kids, and they also take care of their husbands, and they really have no time for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of women feel that they need to hide, you know, kind of their emotions and not talk about how they're feeling because it is too womanly or it's too emotional and all of those silly tags that everyone puts on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for me, I come in contact with so many women every day and hear their stories, and women really are strong. I think they just forget that they're strong sometimes and feel like they need to ask someone's permission to be strong.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I just realized there was one more question that I almost forgot to ask. Jerry from Plymouth, Indiana asks, what qualifies a salon to be on your show, and do they need to be a large salon? Like, basically, what is the smallest number of employees that they'll take?
We have been in smaller salons. Definitely. In season one, there were some smaller salons. What qualifies a salon is that, honestly, what you see are the problems that they're having.
Okay.
There are salons that obviously will apply because they've got the makeover portion or would like to be on television and all of those kind of things. We're looking for legitimate salons that we can help, and we can help in their business. And there is a process that the casting producers actually go through to make sure these salons are legitimate, that what you're seeing, the behavior that you're seeing, is actually the behavior of the owner or the behavior of the staff, not amped up for my
benefit. To get on, yeah. Now, would they go to Bravo.com and go to Tabitha's Salon Takeover? Is there some kind of form they can fill out if they're interested?
Sure. If we're casting for season three, they'll actually be posted on the Bravo website. I have a fan page on Facebook. I will post it on there as well, with the link back to the Bravo site to actually direct everyone through.
And when is your show on?
We are on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
On Bravo, and tonight is actually the season finale.
Ooh. Oh, that's exciting.
So it's a big one tonight, and it's a very emotional one, so anyone that watches will enjoy tonight.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Tabitha, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and I would love for you to come on again, and maybe every couple months we could do the same kind of thing. Would that, you know, get more questions? If you have time, I know how busy you are.
I would love to.
Would you? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'll be in touch.
Oh, that would be fabulous. Well, thank you so much again.